He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions.
The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life.
Receive the word and there shall be a performance.
For drawing us all from all our various places. Thank you for the privilege to come before you tonight. Thank you for your word that changes, your word that transforms, your word that builds. We give you the praise for your word, the word that you have given us tonight. We thank you. We thank you. We thank you. For you are the word, you are the utterance, you are the spirit that confirms the word. And so we thank you tonight, Holy Ghost. We depend on you to feed us tonight, and we thank you because you've done it. Blessed be your name, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Reach out to your brothers and just say hello. How are you doing? Hello, how are you doing? Good evening. Give somebody a shake. Wave towards someone. And just celebrate someone in that place tonight. The Lord bless you. The Lord preserve you. In the name of Jesus Christ. Let's be seated. And be attentive to what the Lord will be doing in our midst tonight. Hallelujah. I believe in the ministry of the word of God. I believe that there is no other platform of transformation for the believer in this kingdom except through the ministry of the word. Therefore, I believe that ignoring the word is ignoring transformation. I believe that the level of attention you pay to the ministry of the word of God determines the level of transformation that you will experience. And invariably, the level of your transformation determines the level of your manifestations. Because everything in your life is a reflection of the level of your mind. Last time before the incense and healing meeting, we considered the law of transformation, and we saw in that law, and by that law, that everyone per time operates at the level of their mind, that the things and the reality that we see in our lives are a reflection of the state of our mind. We also saw by that word to us from the Lord that you are not permitted to experience and consistently experience a realm that your mind has not transformed into. We saw how that the mind of a man is the epic center of that man, is the control tower that determines the event in the life of that man. We saw how that the difference between the poor and the rich is not their body. Listen carefully to what I'm sharing tonight. I'm doing a recap on what we have had in this series of spiritual laws. And it's important that you pay attention and not just sitting here to listen. You get back home and you listen to it again and again. You've heard me say that the smartest person amongst us will remember 10% of the things shared here after 24 hours. And that smart person will remember only 2% after 3 days. That's why the Bible says faith comes by hearing, and by hearing the word of God. He knows that there is the hearing, but he knows hearing once is not sufficient to birth faith in your heart. We saw that the difference between two people at any time in any place is not largely dependent on the nation they have come from. It's not dependent on their body, so to speak. It's not even in the volume of the books that they have read. It's most of the time the transformation of their mind. That the difference between men is the state of their mind. How powerful is the ministry, the law of transformation? The law of transformation is so powerful and important that even the power of God in your life and through your life is at the mercy of the level of your transformation. Hear me again and again. No matter how powerful you are, no matter the level of the anointing that has been invested on you by the Spirit of God, it will still find expression through the level and the space provided by the transformation of your mind. We have histories, Christian histories, of men and women who walked with God and touched powerful dimension in God. Even in Nigeria, for example, we have men who have come and gone who we don't have record of so many things that were done by them, but the little we have access to, we know that these men were men that taught some strange things in the spirit. Yet, because of the level of the transformation of their mind, they could not do much. They could not reach much people by the reason of the level of their mind. Imagine with me that Papa Moses Orimola Adetunwolase has the privilege of the transformation that we have in our days with the level of the anointing invested on this vessel. Imagine how far and what difference that will make. Men like Papa Apostle Ayo Babalola of the CAC were men that did mighty things, touched real substance in the kingdom, but we don't have much things as it is seen in our days that was done by the reason of their transformation. Yet my generation will touch 5% of what that those people touch and amplify it by the ministry of transformed mind. Let me give you an example about transformation, and I'll move into what we have today. Do you know that no matter how powerful the anointing comes on me, I cannot prophesy with evil? Do you know why? My mind has not been trained to speak evil. We grew up in the church where doing revivals and doing some of our services, you hear somebody rise up suddenly and begin to prophesy. That woman will prophesy in the language she speaks. Many of them will speak Yoruba in this part of the world. Eminioluwa, Eminioluwa. Does that mean God speaks English? No. Or speak Yoruba? No. God speaks the language that your mind allows. You see that now? God will only walk through the window, the space as provided by your mind. All you see in your life is not all there is, but it is all that your mind can permit now. So the battle is not God do more. Mm-mm. The battle is your mind permitting more. If your mind can open up more, if your mind can be yielded more, if your mind can be transformed more, the power of God is lavishly available, but it's according to the power that is at work in you. If the power at work in you can only heal headache by the reason of your mind, the power of God in you will not heal cancer. The law of transformation. Tonight, let's move, because of our time, into what the Lord will have us. And please, can I plead with you that at the end of today, I want you to do the work of an evangelist. Take these two series, the law of transformation and what I'm going to be teaching you tonight, and recommend it to anyone that you want to see do exploit on the earth. These two things are the basic foundation for anyone who will do exploit in the kingdom. I've told you the universal foundation,
which is the law of death and glory. But subscribing to those law of death and glory alone is not enough. There are things, they look basic in these days. They look so simple compared to what many of us will want to hear. Teach us on the power of God. Teach us on different angels. Teach us on this, teach us on that. But if you ignore these little and simple things, you will be shocked that you will accumulate every other knowledge, yet your life will deny the effect of it. So he said, ever learning. So there are men that are ever learning. There are men that ever accumulate knowledge. There are men that you see them every message, everything. They are paying attention. They are running around. They gather messages. They are listening to it just for the satisfaction of, oh, I'm listening to a message. But their life never reflects. They have the form of godliness, but they deny the power thereof. So give these two messages. Give it to your brothers. Give it to your sisters. Give it to your mother. Give it to your father. Put it on your status and recommend it for anyone that will matter. Number one is the law of transformation. Number two is the law of sound. That's what I'm going to be taking you tonight. The law of sound. If you would pay attention to the ministry of the world that is communicating to us in this place, that in the years to come your life will reflect the reality of this days. Listen, your background notwithstanding, these words have the ability to make ordinary men mighty men. That's what the Lord just said to me in other tongues. That the word that he communicates to us here are not opinions. They are not random information. They are the very principles, the keys, the formulas that makes mighty men. It does not matter how your life began. It does not matter your background. It does not matter what disadvantage you have by default. If you subscribe to these words, I give you an assurance, your profiting will appear to all. The law of sound. Everything God created responds to sound and produce sound. We've started the journey already. Everything God created responds to sound and produce sound. At this point and with this teaching and as kingdom people, I want you to forget about what you were taught in biology and your integrated science. That there are some things categorized as living things and some other things categorized as not living things. In this kingdom, everything has life. In reality, everything you see has life. And everything responds to sound and produces sound. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. And verse 7.
Ruach Elohim. Ruach Elohim. Ruach Elohim. Fills this place.
It's projected. I want you all with a loud voice to help me read this scripture together with me. 1, 2, go. Stop. Begin again. What he just read now, he said, even things without life is operating between the jurisdiction of the common scientific knowledge that you have to let you know that the things you say are without life, yet they produce sound. with me now. It said things without life, based on your scientific categories, things without life, and he mentioned them. He said whether flute or herbs, he said when they make a sound, listen carefully, that these things are not just without, they are not without life, they have the ability to make sounds. And look at what he said about their sounds. He said their sounds have the ability to make distinctions. So you can know the sound of a guitar from the sound of a keyboard. You can know the sound of a drum from the sound of just a mere stick on the road. So he's saying that everything that was made by God has the ability to produce sound. There is a sound of the earth. The fact that these optical ears could not hear them does not mean the earth is not speaking. There is a sound of the wind. There is a sound of the tree. There is a sound of everything that you see. Jesus said to the Pharisees when he was entering into Jerusalem, they said, tell your disciples to stop praising you. He said, if they keep quiet, you will hear another sound. My praise you will hear from the mouth of stones. So stones have the ability to make sound. Things you call without life, yet they sustain the ability to produce sound. Zechariah chapter 11 and verse 3. As I'm teaching these words, pay attention. The power of God will make mightily available. That's what he told me earlier on today while I was just fellowshipping with him. Just let your spirit be open. Many things will be activated in your life tonight. The world is projected again. Look at what the Bible says, Zechariah 11 and verse 3. Are we together now? It said, there is the sound of wailing shepherds. There is the sound of wailing shepherds, for their glory is in ruins. There is the sound of roaring lions. We have mentioned apes. We have mentioned timbers. We have mentioned things that looks like objects. Now he's mentioning animate objects. And the first that he mentioned is shepherds. Of course we know that one relationship that exists between the sheep and the shepherd is that the shepherd sustains the ability to understand the sounds of the sheep. He knows when the sheep is just bleating that it needs food. He knows when the sheep is bleating that it's in danger. Shepherds have been trained to discern what state the sheep is by listening to their sound. And yet shepherds also, being man, have the ability to make sound. Again he said, there is the sound of a roaring lion. Were you told that everything you see around are speaking to you? Have you been taught, believers, to discern and recognize the sounds that creatures around are all making to you? Do you have the ability to discern when you are about to step out in the house in the morning and the sun tells you to go back home and not go out that day? Do you sustain that ability? Men have died the death of the fool because they could not discern the speakings of the day. A day might break, and yet that day will tell you, don't leave this room today. You step out of that room is not safe because the day tells you not to go out. Everything God makes has sound. Everything God created has a sound. But my attention is not on, it's not so much on the sounds of all creations. Are we together tonight? My attention tonight is on the sound of creation. There is a sound that when it is made, creation is birthed. There is a sound called the sound of creation. And amongst all of God's creature, follow me carefully tonight, don't be distracted. Amongst all of God's creature, there is only one entity that he gave the ability to make that sound of creation. He called that entity man. Man is the only entity that God gave amongst the many sounds that he gave other creatures, that he gave the sound of creation. The sound that have the ability to create. That is the sound that God operated him. So he gave his own kind of sound to man, so that when man makes this sound, creation happens. What is the sound of creation? The sound of creation, believers, brothers and sisters, tonight is called words. 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 So the subtopic of this message will be the power of words. I'm going to be focusing on really the power of words. That is the sound of creation. Camila Brasisa, I release sound of the heavens, sound of creation. Yahweh is here. That when you begin to release words, you are not making sound like the sheep will. You will never hear any time that the sound of a goat creates anything. No. God gave the sound of creation to his image, the one he called man, and he called it words. The power of words. Pay attention to that, brothers and sisters. I warned you and I told you from the beginning, listen to this message a million times. Give this message to people that matter to your destiny, because this message has the ability to change your life 360 degrees. The power of words. John chapter 1, from verse 1. John chapter 1. I cry, holy, 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 unto Yeshua, Yahweh is here. John chapter 1 from verse 1. It's projected, brothers and sisters. We know this scripture by heart. I know that even if it's not projected, you can read it offhand. But listen and pay attention to what the Lord will bring it to you in this word tonight. Are we all set with a loud voice? Can we read it together? One, two, go. Stop. I will be reading to verse 1 and 2. I will be reading those two verses. But let's start by considering what he began with. This is a man writing his own experience of the time and the life and the exploit of Jesus in his days. But look at the way this great apostle John is starting the epistle for us. Other people began their own epistle by beginning from the day that Jesus was born. Many of them began by telling us the story, the genealogy of Jesus. He was born by the son, he was the son of David, David the son of Jesse, Jesse the son of Obed, and on and on and on. But this one paid a special attention. The beginning of the book of John for me looked like the beginning of the book of Genesis. He had the ability to back to the beginning of all things, and he began by unfolding to us and revealing to us what happened and how this entity we have now received, how he came to be on the earth. And look at how he began. In the beginning was the Word. Have you ever asked yourself, of every mighty things that is on the earth, why did God choose to associate himself with the Word? Why did he say in the beginning was power? Why didn't they say in the beginning was fire? Why didn't they say in the beginning was the hair? He said in the beginning was the Word. Follow closely. He said, and the Word was with God. We'll think that, oh, okay, Word was with God, okay. And then he opened and unveiled the big thing to us. He said the Word was God. So what I'm talking about is not just a thing. It's not in the category of other element of creation. As a matter of fact, what I'm talking to you about is the reason why everything you see consists. So this Word was God. Give me the next verse, sir. It was in the beginning with God. Next. And all things. Somebody say all things. And all things were made through him. All things were made through him. Just in case you didn't understand that expression, he said it the other way. He said, and without him, don't forget this him now, that's not become him, it's the word. And without him was nothing made that was made. You know, my only prayer for you tonight, that you will not miss your portion in this world. That's my prayer for you. Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 3. Give us the Passion Translation. Let's have the New King James first, and then you'll prepare the Passion. Hebrews chapter 1 and verse number 3. Look at what the Bible says now. It's still talking about that one they spoke about in John chapter 1. Look at what it says. It said, who being the brightness of his glory, speaking about the same man that we later named Jesus. He was not named Jesus from heaven. Up till tomorrow, if you ask the angel, the name of Jesus in heaven is the word. That's why the Bible said in the book of 1 John, there are three that bear witness in heaven. It said, the Father, the Word, and the Spirit. They don't know Jesus in heaven like the name Jesus. It's the name given to us on the earth. That's why the Bible says there is no other name given unto men under heavens. You see that now? So the name Jesus is the name given to us. When we get to heaven, well, our knowledge of him being Jesus might make us call him Jesus, but his real identity is called the Word. Now he's speaking about that same word in this place. He said he is the brightness of the glory and the express image of his person, of God's person. And look at the next thing he said, and upholding all things by the word of his power. That not only did the word created all things, the word is still the one maintaining everything that you see exists in this earth. Everything that be, everything that exists, everything that consists is in existence, is in maintenance by the word. Upholding all things by the word of his power. Give us the Passion Translation. They said, the sun is the dazzling radiance of God's splendor, the exact expression of God's true nature. Is somebody following the word of God? It's mirror image. Look at the next thing it says. He holds the universe together and expounds it out by the mighty power of the spoken words. He holds the universe together. That things are not just consisting because there is some forces, some scientific elements that are holding them together. That everything you see consisting is held together and maintained because the might of his power is still available. At the center of everything, holding everything together, is the might of his power. If you are with me, say amen. Amen. What are words? Let's start from that. What are words? Before I give you the definition of words, let me play a little with your mind. Do you know that the most powerful force on the earth is the force of words? Do you know that everything you claim a man becomes, it becomes because a word was ministered to him? Students, at the end of the day, you will hold a BSc in your hands and say, I have BSc in pharmacology, I have BSc in economics. And what you mean is that I have received sufficient words that informed me and qualified me to be a scientist or to be an economist. When you get to the university, majority of what will be means and channels of communication and of building for every student is words. So a young man coming to the university to study medicine and surgery, this young man before now, if he sees somebody fall down before him, confuse him, they will run away and be in terror. And this same man now comes into the university and supplied words to him. He meets some men who are masters of words in that field, and they begin to supply him words. They spoke those words to him. They wrote those words for him, and he began to read these words into himself. And 6 years after that, just by accumulation of words, when somebody confronts beside him, he no longer runs. He now knows what to do. Just by the administration of words. Somebody claims he's a PhD holder. Let me tell him that what he's trying to tell us is that he has received sufficient information communicated through the power of words to have the knowledge of PhD. Somebody is going to be on his way. Somebody is in prison right now, and he will be in that prison for the rest of his life just because somebody sat down somewhere and released words. I sentence you to life imprisonment. Why can't he stand and say, no, I'm not going? No. Words are powerful. You see a young man jumping up and down, planning about life the next 30 years, having his plan and his goals, and meeting another one called a doctor. And they looked at him and they looked at the test result and said, based on this test result, you have just 3 days to live. And the young man that was jumping up and down now, suddenly, he begins to cry. Suddenly, he begins to die. Were you told that disease is not the first thing that kills men? It is the worst that kills men. There are many people who are living with HIV and AIDS right now. Yet, they don't know they are living with HIV and AIDS. They will live long and live well, because they were never told they live with HIV and AIDS. Now, I'm not trying to downplay on the importance of medical checkup. I'm just telling you that your mind, your thinking, your building, your joy, and what you become ultimately in life is largely dependent on words. You came to be because a young man walked up to a young woman. Imagine that. Just because a young man walked up to a young lady and said, I like you, can you be my wife? I've not seen a situation where a young man walked up to a lady before and just nod and nod and nod and nod, and they followed each other and a child was produced. No. Words frames our world. Were you told that the entire world is ruled by words? Words. There is a war right now in Ukraine just because a man spoke a word. No! If you join at home, we will show you. And that became an outbreak of war. Hundreds of thousands, sadly speaking, we are not proud of it. And we are praying that God will intervene into what is happening right now in Ukraine. Hundreds of thousands have died. Many are dying just because a man spoke words. Words so powerful. Not only did the word create the world, words runs the world. So what are words? If words are this powerful, what exactly is, what is this thing we call war? Words are the expression of the thoughts. Is somebody making a note already? Words are the expressions of the thoughts, the intent, and the ideology of a person. I'll take it again so that you can take your note properly and intelligently. Words are the expression of the thoughts, the intent, and the ideology of a person. Luke chapter 6 and verse 25. Give us New King James and then prepare the passion. Luke 6 and verse 45. Are we still together tonight? Jesus is speaking to us, and he's speaking about words. Look at what it says. It said, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart, the New King James, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart bring forth good. You see that now? An evil man, out of the evil treasure of his heart, bring forth evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So it means every word that we express, most of the time, affected by what we have on now within. You see why the last law and this law works together. That the level of your transformation can be discerned by the communication of your words. Words are the expression of the thoughts, intent, and the ideology of a person. Give us the Passion Translation. People are known in this same way, out of the virtues stored in their hearts. Good and upright people will produce good fruit. You see that now. But out of the evil hidden in their hearts, evil ones will also produce evil fruit. So the same way a good man will produce good fruit, it's the same way an evil man will produce evil fruit. Number two, what are words? I'm trying to give a little description to what we call words. Number two, what are words? Are you ready now? Words are the invisible materials. Words are the invisible materials that created the visible materials. That definition is very powerful. That everything you see visible was created by invisible materials. Words are the invisible materials that create the visible materials. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 3. New King James. Hebrews 11 and verse 3. Look at what the Bible says here. By faith, we understand that the word was translated as the word here is from the word aeons, does not really mean the universe, even though you can bring into this context the word, the universe. But what it really means is aeon. Aeon means, it's from the Greek word that means the time, the life and the time of men. That's what that word means in the Greek. It means the life and the time of men. So it means that by faith we understand that the life and the time of men was framed by the words of God. You see that now? So he said that we understand that the words that we see were framed by the word of God. What is the next thing he said? So that the things that are seen were not made of the things that are visible. So that the things that are seen were not made of the things which are visible. What is that material that sustains the ability to give expression and identity to an image that is not visible? It's called words. Bible speaking about God in the book of Romans chapter 4, when he was talking about Abraham, he said he called the things that be not as though they were, and we see them made manifest. Words is the invincible materials. You cannot see words, but you cannot deny the effect of words. I know what to say to you, and tears will begin to come out of your eyes. I will not beat you. I will not use cane. I will not touch you. I will use the power of words, and then you will begin to, physical tears will begin to run down your cheek. Somebody is taken physically right now to the jail because somebody released an invisible entity, and that man was sentenced to jail physically. It's not going to be in jail in the realm of the spirit. It will be in jail physically for the next 25 years. The power of words. Invisible materials that gave manifestation to visible materials. Don't forget where I'm coming from. words began from God is the sound of creation from God. This sound of creation was not only available with God. In his love and his lavish mercy, he gave the same sound of creation. He gave it to man. Genesis chapter 2. I'm just inspired to talk about that now. Genesis chapter 2 and verse 19. Show me that scripture, please. Genesis 2. Thank you, Lord. Look at what the Bible says here. Out of the ground, the Lord formed every beast of the field. Pay attention. And every bird of the air, and brought them to Adam. Look at what the verse said. To see what he would call them. God created things. God created animals. God did not give them names. God brought them to man to see the identity that men will give to the things created by God. So it means that with the power of the words, the power of these words give you the ability to give identity to situations that were not created by you. You will understand this, and it's very powerful. The Bible did not say God created the animal and then have the name in his heart and was going to wait if Adam would be able to guess each of their names. No. God created all the animals, and the Bible says he brought them to the man, Adam, and he brought them so that he can see what name Adam will call them. Look at the next verse. And whatever Adam called each living creature, what did he say? So it means God always watch. I'll be going ahead of myself, but you need to listen to this. God always watch the name you call every situation. And whatever name you call that situation, that becomes it in your life. That when you meet a challenge in your life, when you come across a situation and you shout, this is a challenge, God say, yes, it's a challenge. Whatever you call it, that's what it is. Come, Pastor Shun, come. Stop here. Just stop. No, don't stop here. Face me. Stop. No, don't climb. Face me. Stop here. This person is coming in his life journey. When he gets here, he can say, this is an obstacle. I cannot go beyond here. He turns back. Whereas this person will be coming. When he gets here, they both meet the same challenges, the same barricade in their different life. But when he gets there, he says, no, this is not an obstacle. It's a ladder to a higher height. He climbs. This one will turn back. I have done business for 2 months. It's not working. I'm not going to do business. I can't be successful in business. Give me an office job. So you turn back. Whereas somebody else will meet the same obstacle. We say, yes, for this one to be difficult, it means there is something major there for me. And whatever name Adam called it, that was his name. You call your situation a terrible situation, and that was his name. We can go and sit. Thank you. God made living creatures. God did not give names to them. Are you aware that God has never named any of your situation? You are the one giving them names. We are poor people. We are just poor people living in a poor environment. And God said, whatever name that Adam called it, that was his name. Whereas someone else is your neighbor living in that same environment, but he kept saying, this is my preparatory ground. Hey, the world is waiting to hear me. In the same situation, you will be surprised. 5 years, 10 years after that period, you will still be in that poor situation, because that is the name you call your situation. And that person will be in the height where he has always called it. Two sickness can be in the body. The same sickness can be in the body of two people. The first person will say, this thing is killing me. The other person will say, well, this thing is going already. I can stay here. Let me keep moving. And you will watch. The one that said it's killing him will eventually die of that sickness. Whatever name. So by this expression and this experiment by God, God is revealing to you that the power of creation does not only stay with me. I've given you to you. Let me show you from the first man. Adam, name the animals. I hope you know, like I've said it many times and again, that when it comes to naming an object, it does not just mean giving a nomenclature to them, like just a name. No, When you name an object, it means you give it an identity. So when Adam called that living creature lion, it means he gave it an identity of the king of the jungle. So when you give your situation a name, you give it an identity. When you say this is the end of me, it will immediately develop the muscle to hurt you. When you say this, my sickness has come, I pray that it will not eventually kill me, that sickness will suddenly grow so strong that it will have the ability to kill you. Even if you have never killed anyone before, you have empowered it to do that. And whatever name Adam called it, that was his name. God stood there. Who knows? Let's just speak as reasoning now. Who knows that the one God wants to make the king of the jungle is elephants? And maybe that was the reason why God gave him the big and the might, the strong and the strength and the size. But when Adam came, Adam changed the identity of the one called the king of the jungle and gave lion. Now, even when elephant hears the roaring of lion, as big as the elephant is, elephant will also run. Because that image, the identity, the character of the one in dominance have been given to a living creature by the power of words. My life can never go back. I can never be stagnant. No. No matter what comes my way, is another stepping stone into greater heights. And whatever Adam calls it, whatever Adam calls it. Two people may be waiting on the Lord for a child. The one person will say, I am barren. The other person will say, I'm being prepared for what I'm about to bring forth. It's so heavy and mighty, the world will shake when it comes. The barren one will go barren. The one preparing, because the Lord will make sure that the expectation of the righteous shall never cut off. He will make sure that he has what he expects. Also, this is my challenge. You know, I don't know how to be smart. There's no way you will ever be smart. That's why you see us baptize you into confessing positively here. It's not just that we are finding varieties to put in service. Everything we do here by the mercies of God has intention, and there is a goal that God has in mind for every of the things he has to do here. Those words are not just ordinary words. The shape, the destiny of man. Why are words so powerful? Let me take you through some points. Why are words so powerful? Why are words so powerful? Number one. Are we ready now? All things were made by the word. And in the DNA of everything is the ability to respond to word. Listen carefully to what I'm teaching you tonight. Very powerful. This is the reason why many believers, they sow and never reap. They fast and pray and never harvest. They believe that they are only praying and creating when they close their eyes and kneel down. That is the only time they are creating. So when they close their eyes and they kneel down, they confess positive things. But the moment they leave there, they confess things that are exact opposite of what they say is there. And like we were taught in mathematics, minus times plus equals what? So when you confess positively and you go and confess negatively, that's negative times positive. What will you get? This is the explanation to the reason why many people, though believers, will never experience the positive and the great things that God has reserved for them. Are we still together now? All things were created by the word, and in the DNA of everything is the ability to respond to the word. Not that they were only made and created. In the DNA of everything is the ability to respond to words. Oh, I hear the voice of Jesus standing by the fig tree in Mark chapter 11. Jesus spoke to the tree and the tree responded, because everything has the ability to respond to the words, the power of creation, the sound of creation. Jesus simply said, no man eats out of your fruit anymore. And the tree responded accurately. Genesis chapter 1. Over the face of the waters. Look at the next verse. God created a good thing at the first time he made the creation. And when he came back, he made darkness ruling, destroying everything that he has made. And he made the exact opposite of what he made in the beginning. And then God now, coming in contact with what man would term as challenges. God now coming in contact with what man would call difficulties. A confusing atmosphere. But look at what God did. And God thought. Is that what the Bible says? And God knocked. What did the Bible say? And shouted loud. And God said that every time you come against any situation, the first thing is not to cry. The first thing is not to even describe the situation. We can see what it looks like. We know what it is. Don't tell us. Don't give us information about the negative thing. Tell us what must be. And God said, let there be light. The original word says, and God said, light be. Light be. I want you to pay attention to the way God operates. Because if truly you are sons of God, and you want to have the experience of God on the earth, you must study the way the Father operates. Again, you see it in the life of Jesus. When Jesus came on the earth as the express image of God, watch how Jesus operated on the earth. He ruled by words. He was a master of words. They could not hold him by words. He made everything and caused everything to happen by the power of his words. God saw darkness. God said. Permit me to say, sir, that darkness will continue until you set light. That if you refuse to say light, even though you have darkness, you will never see light. That everything around you is waiting for what you say. If God stood in the midst of that darkness and all he did was to shake his head and went back to the place of his dwelling, darkness would have continued there. The Bible did not say, and when God showed up, the darkness gave way and light showed up. Even though there is the power that can make light available, if the power was waiting for God to say, and God said, let there be light. And what happened? And there was light. Jump to verse 6 because of our time. Jump to verse 6. And God said again, let there be firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. What happened? And it happened so. We shout, we eulogize. God, you are the maker of the heaven and the earth. Come and make my life. He no longer makes your life. He has given you the power to make your life. If you are aligned with His Spirit and you will engage the principles of creation, you will see your own life also made. This is God making His world. This is God making His earth. And He didn't hide from us the formula, the laws that He engaged that brought about the world that you see now. God said, and God saw. Give us verse 9. God said, look at the next thing again. Then God said, let the waters under the heaven be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear. What happened, brothers and sisters? It was so. Is it not amazing that everything God said, God saw? It was so. It was so. It was so. It was so. Apostle, I've been speaking, I've not seen it. Keep speaking. Keep speaking. It takes more than once to create. Keep speaking. I will never go down. Even when it looks as though you are not moving forward, I'm moving forward. Keep speaking. You hear men like Pastor Chris and Akilumen telling us, keep saying it. Don't stop talking it. Keep saying it. Is it not working in their life? These are basic principles that my generation has done away with. Do you know, as important as speaking the talks is, there are some situations in your life that are not waiting for your tongues. They want to hear your words in the language that your mind understands. When you speak, you don't only speak to angels, you also speak to yourself. Sometimes the faith for what you expect will be better when your mind hears your voice. Were you told that your mind also hears your voice? Your body hears your voice. This body can never be sick. It's not only an information to angels and demons, it's also an information to the body. To say, body, be aware, you have been configured never to be sick. Mark chapter 4. Give us verse 39. Look at what the Bible says here. It's a very popular story, we all are aware. Jesus told the disciples in the previous verses, let us pass over to the other side. And Jesus went into the chamber to sleep in the boat. And while Jesus lay there sleeping, the Bible says there arose a storm and a mighty wind. And the disciples were speaking, but they were saying the wrong thing. Speaking only does not offer the situation. You must know what to say. You must know what to say. The disciples were speaking. They possibly are shouting louder than the voice of Jesus. But what were they saying? Save us or we perish. And as long as they say for we perish, the sea say I will make sure you perish. The storm say I will make sure you perish. The wind became so more mighty and it makes sure that they were going to perish. But look at what Jesus did. When they called on him, look at what he did. Then he arose and rebuked the wind out and said to the sea. He said to the sea, what did he say? Peace. One word. Many times you don't need multitude of words. Peace. Be still. Peace. Peace. And what has given 11 people, 12 people, turbulence and challenge, they have tried all their best, they could not contain it. By the release of that one word, the Bible says, and there was a great calm. A dear lady called me one time and was telling me at what was happening at the moment to her and her family. How that she was sick and the husband elder has also been attacked, and it looks like the man is losing strength and things were just turning haywire already. And while the lady was speaking, I interrupted her call, her words immediately, and I said, in the name of Jesus, I release peace into that family. Thank you. I'll hear from you later. And the next time I heard, there was a great calm. Were you told, brothers and sisters, that the most mighty force on the earth is the force of peace? Hear me again and again. Peace is not a gentle breeze. Peace is a violent, mighty force. I'll give you a description that will help you understand. I've given it to those who are around before. When two people are fighting, when two empty people are fighting, and you want to put them to peace to stop fighting, do you send a young person to them, a small person to them? If let's say two mighty men, strong and empty, are fighting, will I send a kind of maybe Daniel or a 10-year-old child and say, go and hold the two of them so that they will not fight? What do you think will happen? One throw like this, they will find that boy on the floor now, right? If two mighty men are fighting and I want to hold them to peace, I will need to send a mightier person to go to them. So when that mightier person go to them, he holds this one here, holds the other one here, and tell them stop fighting, and they become calm. Even when they want to stop, will they see that the strength that is holding them is mightier? So peace must be stronger than troubles to put troubles in place. So when Jesus said peace on the wind, peace over the storm, it means peace have more power than the storm and the wind. That was why when peace appeared, it put the troubles in place. When troubles arise to you in your family, don't describe it. Don't tell me what your mommy is going through. Don't tell me what your dad is going through. Don't tell me the job you just lost. Speak peace. Speak peace. Give me the next verse. And there was a great calm. Look at what the Bible says. But they said to them, why were you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? Next verse. It said, exceedingly. This is where my word really is for us, my message. And the feared exceedingly. Can you help us, please? And the feared exceedingly. And they asked amongst themselves, who can explain these things? What manner of man is this, that the wind and the sea obey him? So it means the wind and the sea sustains the ability to obey the voice, the sounds of creation. Why? Because everything that the world made, everything were made by the world, and in the DNA of everything is the ability to respond to the world. The word DNA mere simply means genetic formations. Everything. Everything. And God demonstrated that to us many times and again. He spoke to the sea parted. He spoke to the tree dried up. He spoke to lice, they invaded Egypt. Spoke to frog, they came. Spoke to the water, turned to the blood. Everything. Why are words so powerful? Number two. Why are words so powerful? Words activate the power of God. Words activate the power of God. Words activate the power of God. Ecclesiastes chapter 8 and verse 4. Ecclesiastes chapter 8 and verse 4. It's projected. I want you all to read it loud and clear. One, two, go. Where the word of the king is. I've taught you that scriptures are interconnected. So when they say where the word of the king is, don't look at the earthly king. First, you are the first king. For our God hath redeemed us unto himself as king and priest, and we shall reign on the earth. Only that we reign on this earth by the ministry of the use of the words. That wherever the word goes, that is where the power of God is. The devil understand this so well. Demon understand this so well. That when they come to your life, the first thing they are looking for is what has God spoken concerning this life. Any area of your life where the word of God has been directed is the area where the power of God has been directed. You have seen it in this place many times. Where I will stand, I will say the power of God is touching everyone that is sick, and people will begin to come out for testimony. Why can't God heal people while I'm just teaching and not making reference to them? Because the words activate the power of God. We saw in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 3 how that there was darkness, God was present, yet light did not show up. But when God said light be, the word activated the power of God to be. The word. Remember the story of the 10 lepers that came to Jesus. Master, if you are willing, make us whole. Look at what he said to them. I am willing, be whole. And the Bible says immediately. They are standing in the presence of Jesus. Why can't his presence just make them heal? The power of God waits for the word of God to be released. The power of God waits for the word of God to be released. I feel like releasing that word over you. I decree from now, move from one level of glory to the other in the name of Jesus. That the power to lift is available, but lifting will not be in sight until the word is released. That the power to heal is available, but you may never see healing in operation until the word of healing is released. That the power for faith is available, but you will never see faith in operation until the word of faith is released. Everywhere the word is, that is where the power of God is. Don't look for where the power of God is. Look for where the word of God is. Anywhere the word of God is, that is where the power is. Don't forget these things as long as you live. Everywhere, you've heard me say it times and again, that when the word of God comes to you as an instruction, on the wings of that instruction is the grace for fulfillment of that prophecy. Every time God said to you, do this for me and you will see this in return, it's not that when you do it you will now say, okay, I've come to do it. In your obedience to that word is already the power for performance. Many times you will hear me just simply say, touch wherever you have infirmities, and as you touch it, I command healing to appear. That you see it happen immediately. You have been touching that place many times. Why did it become ill there? But this time you are touching it as the word has been released. Peter has toyed all night. The same boat, the same ship, the same net, the same Peter. But that is not enough to catch a fish. Launch out to the deep, master. Let's just go home and rest. We have toiled all night. I said, launch out and be ready for an abundance of a catch. He said, okay, we have tried all night, but according to your word. Somehow God helped Peter to discern that the power of God is in operation when the word of God is released. Were you told that the fish gathered when the word was spoken? Bible says they caught until their net was broken. I decree every impossible situation in your life staring you are standing as difficult situation, I decree right now, they bow down for your sake in the name of Jesus. I don't care what you have been told, but I've come as an agent of God to speak as his oracle over you tonight. I say you shall live. I declare that you shall live. I declare that you shall live. I cancel the agenda of death in the name of Jesus. Where the word of the king is, there is power for performance. John chapter 6 and verse 63. The word of God activates the power of God. John 6, 63. Popular scriptures, but many have not come to become one with this word. Look at what the Bible says there. It said, it is the spirit who gives lives. The flesh profits nothing. What's the next thing? The words that I speak to you are spirits. They are spirits and they are life. My words are not ordinary. My words are spirits. Every word is a spirit. Either negative spirit or positive spirit. Words are not just entity. Words are not just a means of communication. Words are spirits. Why are words so powerful? Number three. It has some similarities with this. Number two too. Number three. Every time you speak, you create either good or bad. Every time you speak, you create. Every time you speak, sisters, you create. Every time you speak, brothers, you create. Permit me to tell you humbly, sister, that what you see now is the sum total of the words you have spoken or that has been spoken over you in the past years. Every time you speak, you create, either good or bad. Matthew chapter 12 and verse 37. Give us the Passion Translation straight. Matthew chapter 12 verse 37. Passion Translation. Look at what the Bible says here. I wanted to read it so that you remember. 1, 2 with a loud voice. Read it out. Say it again. That's Jesus for you. Your very words, not the word of another. There's a level you get to in life. As important as it is for you to cancel negative words spoken over you by parents, by people and associates, there's a place you get to that the only thing that will determine your life and the outcome of your destinies are the very words that you speak. So Jesus says the very word, your very words will be used as evidence against you. Your words will declare you either innocent or guilty. Your words have the ability to declare if you are innocent or you are guilty. Your very words. Your very words has the potency to declare your innocency or your guiltiness. Proverbs 17 from verse 27. Proverbs 17 from verse 27. Let's begin with the Passion. Then prepare the NLT for me, please. Proverbs 17. Look at what the Bible says from verse 27. It said, can you bridle your tongue when your heart is under pressure? That's how you show that you are wise. That when you can keep quiet when you are under pressure. That's how you show that you are wise. That's not really the scripture for this very line, but it's important that I even bring it to your notice now. That your words, every time, anywhere, describe you. I'm coming there in a bit. Your very words. Your very words. Your very words. Number three. Okay, let's do Ecclesiastes chapter 5. I think it's important I give you this. Let me just give you this warning. Since your words, every time you speak, you create. Don't forget that point, number three. Is that number three? Every time you speak, you create. Is that true? Every time you speak, you create. Every time you speak, you create. Why? Because your words carry the power of creation. Are we together now? Your words carry the power of creation. And Jesus told us that your word will declare if you are guilty or if you are innocent. Ecclesiastes chapter 5 and verse 6. Look at what the Bible says. Go back to verse 2 and then prepare verse 6. Look at what the Bible says in verse 2. Do not be rash with your mouth, and let not your heart alter anything hastily before God. For God is in heaven and you are on earth. Look at what it says. Therefore, what is the next line? Let your words be few. Advise your brother beside you. Let your words be few. Because in the multitude of words, you say the wrong thing. Give me verse 6 now. Let your word be few. Look at what he's saying. Let your word be few. In verse 6. So he said, do not let your mouth to cause your flesh to sin. So your mouth have the ability to cause your flesh to sin. Look at the next thing he said. Nor say before an angel. The word messenger there is translated the word angel. A messenger of God, that he was in error. Do you know that the realm of the spirit does not recognize joke? No, I'm only joking. No, there is nothing like joke when it comes to the use of words. There is nothing like joke. The moment the word comes out of your mouth, it becomes a law. The moment you release the words, either laughing or crying, pressure or pain, you have released the power of creation. You can't say I'm joking. You can't say I did not mean it. No. 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 I don't die. The angel does not recognize joke. They stamp it immediately. And you see your body dying immediately. In fact, do you know that science has validated this truth? And they have come up to say that your word controls your body. That when you say you are weak, immediately your body begins to conform with that weakness. That your body can be energized by the words that come out of your mouth. You have seen men like coaches who are coaches of athletes. You've seen them use the power of words. When somebody is running on the track and is giving up, he's tired already. You see the coach standing and saying, come on, run, you can do this. And just by the hearing of that word, an energy surge from within. That the person that was tired before now suddenly gained a stamina that he cannot explain where it came from. It came from the power of words. Words. Don't say it's an angel. Before an angel, it's a joke. No. 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 Every time you say a thing, there's a story of a governor, an ex-governor in this state. I'm saying it because it's something we all know. I'm not in the derogatory way at all. Who keeps saying, my father died at age 70. My father died at age 70. If I can only live that 70, I'm fine. And when he was 70, got out of being 71, he died. He will say it sarcastically, people will laugh. Yet the realm of the spirit was marking it. 70. Number what now? Why words are powerful. Number what now? Remind me what number one is. Number two. Shout it loud. Number three. Number four now. Your words are the most accurate expression of your identity. Make sure you're writing something down. Don't just look at me like that. Make sure you're writing something down. Your words are the most accurate expression of your identity. It means, when men meet you, they might not have any opinion of you until they have listened to you. And 5 minutes of listening to you can determine their opinion of you. that no matter what somebody has said about you, oh, he's a good man, oh, he's very calm, oh, he's nice, all of those things are second class opinion. They are third party opinion. That when I'm reading you, I'm listening, and I'm listening to discern your identity, because the most accurate description of your personality is your words. I can't stay with you for 5 minutes and not know what you believe. If I listen to you for 5 minutes, I can discern what you believe. You can't stay with a doctor for 5 minutes and not know he's a doctor. Even when you are discussing politics, his language, his lingua franca, we denied him. His lingua franca, we reveal him, I mean. Now you will hear him mentioning medical terms, even in the place of politics. Even on the pulpit, you hear men like Dr. Pastor Paul Enenche. Even as a powerful man of God, when he's ministering, you will know that this is a doctor by training, because his lingua, the medical lingua franca, will reveal that this man has been schooled in the way of medicine. When you dress a tout, picked him from the street, put suit on him, nice tie, nice shirt, nice shoe, hold him and say, let's have a stroll. Put him in the midst of people, give him 10 minutes, tell him to talk. Immediately people will look at him and say, ah, something is going on here. Because your words has a way of revealing you. It has a way of revealing who you are. It has a way of revealing your identity. With your words, I don't need anybody to tell me about you. If I listen to you for 10 minutes, I can tell you about you. Your words. If you find a fine gentleman in the midst of tout, and suddenly he speaks, you will ask him, what are you doing here? Even though in their midst, you can almost ask, what are you doing here? Those days while I was having my training in the world and going through some very turbulent things, and while I was doing a liberal job with the bricklayers, when the owner of the house that we are building comes to supervise their house, and they watch the way I communicate, men, like 9 out of 10 times, they will call me and say, come, what are you doing here? Because something will immediately suggest to them, this guy is not part of them. Maybe he's a young guy just looking for money. Maybe he's a young guy who just needed some things. And many of them, they will want to hear my stories. And yet there are other people that will know these ones are the... Do you know what it is? Proverbs 17, verse 27. Give me NLT now. Go Proverbs 17 and verse 27, NLT. Look at what the Bible says here. We are going into verse 28. A truly wise man, what does he do? Uses few words. So, can we start some diagnosis now? When you meet a man that runs his mouth, he's a fool. He always has something to say. Excuse me, sir. Excuse me, man. He's a fool. It is a fool that uses many words. A truly wise man uses few words. You see that now? And a person of understanding is even in temper. Is even tempered. Give me the next verse. Verse 28. Verse 28. Even fools. Are you learning tonight? Even fools are taught to be wise. When what, sir? So it means I have no right to judge you until you have spoken. That you can take a foolish man for a wise man just because he keeps quiet. I had an experience growing up as a young person. I met somebody who is elderly, and you know, he looks sharp, he looks smart. So I thought he's educated. Now we're talking. I noticed him just saying, So I was thinking, this guy must really know much. Like, he's not speaking. Let me be quiet. Oh, let's not. It's not that I'm making manifest my foolishness before this person. When the guy eventually spoke. When the guy eventually spoke, he has not spoken for 2 minutes. I said, Jesus Christ. It would have been better you keep quiet, though. I'm sure you would have had these experiences of men that you will meet very quietly. You will even respect them and say, good morning. After 10-minute conversation, you call them brother the last time. The next time you call, you say, what are you saying? You are introduced by your words. Look at the story of Jesus in the book of John chapter 4. Look at the story of Jesus. When the woman by the well met Jesus, the first thing he gave Jesus was an insult. Give me water to drink. He said, what do I have to do with you? You are a Nazarite. Me, I'm a distant. What do I have to do with you? But when Jesus said, if you know, Jesus spoke with him for maybe 10 minutes. The next thing he said is, sir, I perceive you are a prophet. Where was the sir when they first met? After 10 minutes, Jesus introduced to him who I am. I'm the ancient of days in wisdom. Forget about this 33-year-old body you are seeing. Let me introduce to you who I am by the words that I speak to you. He said, sir, I perceive you are a prophet. And when Jesus continued talking with him, you know the next thing he did? He left everything, ran to town. Come and see the man. This is the Messiah, not an ordinary man. By the introduction of words, many of us sat beside our destiny helpers and we run our mouth such a way that they vow never to help us. I give expression to my feeling. I say it how I feel it. That's why nobody will ever help you. Even a fool, when he keeps quiet, is mistaken as a wise man. A fool. When he shut his mouth, they seem that is intelligent. Give me the Passion Translation. Passion. Of verse 27 and verse 28. The Passion Translation. Look at what the Bible says here. Verse 27. Look at what Passion advises you. Can you bridle your tongue when you are under pressure? That's how you show that you are wise. How do you show you are wise? Bridle your tongue when you are under pressure. An understanding heart keeps calm. Keeps cool, calm, and collected. No matter what you are facing. No matter what you are facing. Next verse, sir, 28. Even a fool bites his tongue is considered as wise. Look at the next advice. So read it so that you can know it's an advice to you. 1, 2, go. Look at your sister beside you. Face them. Have you seen the person? Hold the person's hand now. Hold the person. I'm serious. Don't laugh. I'm serious. I'm not joking. Hold the person's hand. Now look up to the screen. That last line is what I wanted to read from. So, are you ready now? With a loud voice, advise that brother and that sister. 1, 2, go. How do you look smart when you are provoked? The word of God is our living. In the word of God is everything. Why do people respect this man? These are the things that make men respect men. You, when you are provoked, you rake, you cuss everybody. You say, I don't care. Even the reverend cannot talk to me like that. Even this kind of pillar. When you are now done, your eyes come down. You are now come and say, you mean I actually said that? You will now fabricate one very destructive word. It's the devil. Shut your mouth when you are provoked. That's number one now. Words are the most accurate expression of your identity. Can we go to number 5 now? Number 5. Listen carefully. Your life, and that means your body, your soul, your spirit, and your destiny is governed by words. Make a note. read this thing again when you get home. Your life, which means your body, your soul, your spirit, and your destiny is governed by words. Numbers 14:28. And prepare Joel chapter 3 and verse 10. Numbers 14:28. Prepare also Joel 3:10. Look at what Numbers 13:48 said to us. Say to them, as I live, says the Lord, just as you have spoken in my hearing, so will I do to you. What determines what God does to us? What we say. Either in prayers, either out of prayers, either when we are joking, either when we are not joking, when we are provoked, what do we say? Surely as you have spoken to my hearings, so will I do unto them. Joel chapter 3 and verse 10. Look at what the Bible says. Beat your plow shares into sword, and your pruning hook into spear. Read the last line for me. Let the weak say, I am strong. This looks like a lie for men who have moral standard, like Mahatma Gandhi. How can I be weak and be saying I'm strong? I mean, I don't lie. I tell you how it is. That headache is killing me. That's why the headache will kill you. This is the word of God. It's true that you are sick. It's true that you are failing. But don't confess what you see. Confess what you desire to see. Let the weak say, I am strong. Why? Because the power of God will be activated when the word is released. Is somebody early here tonight? Apostle, what are you saying? There are some situations that you need to speak up so that people can help you. If you keep looking at the help of men, it's vain. No man can help you when God has not helped you. Do you know that most people don't help men out of pity? I don't help people out of pity. I don't. If you come before me and you are crying, I've not been able to pay my school fees. In fact, you have done what will make me not even listen to you at all. Because I will ask you three questions. Is it today you are aware of the school fees? Why did you start crying today? You should have started crying the day you wrote to AEC. If you really want to cry. Imagine somebody who gave birth to a child and says, sir, there's nothing for the naming. That child gave you 9 months notice before he showed up. So if you want to cry, you would have started crying since the day you got pregnant. And they'll say, why you cry? You say, there's nothing for the naming. I want you to grow up to a level where you don't maintain a posture that compels the pity of men. The pity of men will only keep you in the pit. The pity of men will keep you in the pit. Even when you need needs, you have needs. Don't look at men. Your help comes from the Lord. He can choose any man. He's not limited to one man.
Let me go to the entire house. Let me look like somebody in pain. So that when you see me now, they will just pity me. You even say good afternoon.
I get irritated, just like every great man get irritated with that kind of disposition.
Because you don't know what I'm going through.
And you are crying. You know what I do for people like that? I'll give them a handkerchief and walk away. When you are done crying, I will talk. I may be rich. He can be poor for my sake, and I will also be poor on the earth. Jesus cannot play two zeros. He two zeros so that I can play one. Listen to me, oh. I am not a poor man trying to be rich. I'm a rich man finding out my riches, discovering and unveiling my wealth. I'm not a sickler trying to be healed. I'm a man living in health and abundance. Let the weak say, I am strong. Let the weak say, I am strong. Let the failure say, I am successful. Let the low say, I am high. For I've been helped of the Lord. I've been helped from the Lord. Number six. Why are words powerful? Number six. It said, number six, your salvation. And that means your success, your lifting, your greatness, or your condemnation, which means your failure, your pain, your suffering, is at the mercy of your words. Hear me again and again. Your salvation, bracket open, which means your success, your lifting, your greatness, bracket close, or your condemnation, bracket open, which means your failure, your pain, and your suffering, bracket close, is at the mercy of your words. Somebody is on his way to hell now, sadly and painfully speaking, because he refused to use the power of words. Eternal damnation with no reversal, with no correction, with no coming back, just because he refused to use the power of words. Romans chapter number 10 from verse 8. Romans 10 verse 8. Prepare Proverbs 18 for us from verse 20. Romans chapter 10 and verse 8. Look at what the Bible says from verse 8. We're reading to verse 10. It said, but what does it say? The word is near you. The word is not coming from above. The word that will make you, it's not coming from, God is not going to speak from the heavens and say, you shall make it. No. The word is near you. It said, in your mouth. The word is already given to you. The word of creation is given to you. Given to you to chart the course of your destiny. It said, the word is in your mouth and in your heart. What is that word? It said, the word of faith which we preach. Next verse. It said, next verse, verse 9. That if, prepare verse 10, please. Let's be together, please. Prepare verse 10 after verse 9. He said that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, what will happen to you? You shall be saved. So it means the salvation of the earth, the salvation of humanity, has not been given to some dissipation of energy. It isn't if you climb 7 mountains in 7 years. It isn't if you will shout hallelujah. It isn't if you will row very well. It isn't if you will maintain pious look, dress in certain way. No. He said if you can confess with your mouth, believing alone is not enough. You must release what you believe by your mouth. God believed that a light can come forth out of darkness, but he didn't stop by believing it. He released it by words. Look at the next verse, verse 9. Verse 10. He said, for with the heart one believes unto righteousness. What happened to you when you believe is that you lay hold on righteousness. He said, but with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And what is confession? With your mouth, confession is made unto success. Confession is made unto lifting. Confession is made unto change of status. It is true you were born in the gutter, but if you want to end up in the palace, Joseph, you must keep speaking that you saw 11 stars, 12 stars, and the moon bow down before you. Confession is made unto salvation. It is true that you are indebted, but your salvation from debt is at the mercy of your confession. If you keep confessing your debt to the world, you will keep going down in debt. Confession is made unto salvation. Believing is good, but you must learn the dynamics of releasing what you believe He said, we have the same spirit of faith. Therefore, we speak. Now, when we speak, we release the force of creation. When we speak, we release the power of God to go to work. Speak. Speak your word only, and my servant shall be made whole. That man was so intelligent to know that the words that Jesus speaks is beyond just mere communication. It has the ability to travel with accurate GPS and locate the house of the centurion and land on the sick child and bring him back to life. Come on now. Speak the word only. In your word is your salvation. Apostle, I'm in a tight corner. What is the escape route? Your words first. Your words first. It is your words that will tap on those who have been made your destiny helpers. They have all been round about you, but they are waiting for your words to tap them to come and help you. That's why I will keep saying it. I will not stop talking it. Kings shall come to my rising. Gentiles shall come to my light. The nation shall hear me. I am not a small entity. I'm a joy of many generations. I'm an eternal excellence. The power of God will keep finding expression through my life. I will keep doing miracle signs and wonders. I will keep healing the sick. I will keep casting out the devil. I will keep bringing the dead back to life. I will keep preaching the gospel with power and with authority. I will never lack what to eat and what to do. I will never lack finances. I will never live in rags. When you release the words, it has the ability to travel far and wide, far to Australia. If you have said you will never sleep in hunger, it has the ability to travel. It may be as far as China. Tap somebody and say, put money in this person's account now, because he must not sleep in hunger. Proverbs 18 from verse 20. Message. We're reading to verse 21. Message and the Passion Translation. Proverbs 18 from verse 20. Look at what the Bible says. This is a Message translation. Can you read with me for me? 1, 2, go. Give me the next verse, please. 1, 2, shout it loud. Stop. Read it again. Say it again. It is when people carry AK-47 and shoot, they say, "Oh, you are a murderer." Are you aware there are many more murderers walking on the streets? They didn't kill with gun, they kill with words. Words kill. This is the Bible. It can kill anything. Words can kill your finance. Words can kill your health. Words can kill your academics. Words can kill your marriage. Word can send your destiny up away from you. Words kills. Don't be afraid of men that carry weapon. If your word is alive, you can live. Were you told that David did not kill Goliath with the sling and the stone? He killed Goliath with his words. He killed Goliath with his words. As far as David was concerned, before the stone landed on the face of Goliath, brothers and sisters, Goliath was already dead. David stood there. Goliath said, "Am I a dog? Why have you come against me with a sling?" David said, "You have come against me with a sword and with a shield, but I've come against you in the name of the Lord of hosts, and I will kill you and cut your head and feed your head to the cat, your carcasses to the birds of the air." He was already describing the death of a man standing. A giant was standing before him, and he has no sword in his hand. Yet, he already saw a dead giant. Can you see every mountain as they walk over? See mountains as they walk over. Stop describing how high the mountain is. My school fees is 300,000. 300,000 naira. It will remain as a big mirage. You will never see it. Words kill. Example, Goliath. When David caught the head of Goliath and took the earth. The Bible says, and there was no sword in the hand of David. With what did he kill the giant? With words. With words. With words, brothers and sisters. With words. That's why I speak life every day. I speak life to my finances. I speak life to my children. I speak life over Arise. Arise can never be small. We can never be little. We have never reduced once. We always increase. What you see physically notwithstanding. Words kills. What's the next thing it says? Words gives life. They are either poison or fruit. What did it leave you with? You choose. You choose, sir. Your father cannot choose for you. You choose. They may have chosen poverty, but I chose prosperity. They may have chosen death, but I choose life. They may have chosen mediocrity, but I choose greatness. I choose. I have the power of choice. Even God respects that power of choice. He doesn't block struggling into my life. No, He gave me the power. He said, I place before you these days life and death, curses and blessing. I advise you to choose life. Whatever you choose is what God honors. I choose life. I choose prosperity. I choose abundance. I choose greatness. I choose increase. I choose a meaningful life. Words. Words. Can we still have the passion? Can we still have the passion? I'm rushing up to wrap up now. Look at how the passion presented the verse 20. Verse 20. Sharing words of wisdom is satisfying to your inner being. It encourages you to know that you have changed someone's life. Brothers and sisters, let's think about these words we are talking about. Men like Bishop David Oyedepo has raised mighty men in this kingdom, not by taking them to the gym and say, let's carry weight. By words. By words. Sons and daughters in the faith raised by the word. I say to the rising army every time we have a meeting, if my word cannot change you, I cannot help you. The only instrument given to me for your making and your building is the word. When Jesus had 12 disciples and he was going to 12 common men, riffraff and nobodies, and he was going to turn riffraff nobodies into mighty apostles, he didn't do anything extraordinary to them. He simply gave them words. In John chapter 17, he said, Father, the word that you gave me, I have given them. And your word has sanctified them. Were you told that the greatest instrument of making is words? Words. Adolf Hitler packed men, ordinary soldiers, who were intimidated, who were weak in themselves against some other country soldiers and army. And they began to use the power of words to build in them. Until they believe that one German soldier is equal to 10 other soldiers in the world. Words. Until now, when they tell you that this is a German machine, they have made you believe that anything German is highly superior to any other thing. Just because a man began to propose words. You look at your life. You came weak and tired. You came confused. The ministry of the words has built in you. What have I done to you? I simply give you words. The words that I speak, they are life and they are spirits. Words. Give me the next verse, sir. 21. Let's see how the passion presents this. Look at what it says. Your word is so powerful. Hey, your word is so powerful that they will kill or give life. Were you told that your word can kill? There are many people who died around us that our words killed them. Many things died in our lives, killed by our words. Finances killed by your words. Marriage, relationship that never worked, killed by your words. Businesses that never thrives, killed by your words. Words are powerful. I don't care who you are. If you are not a master of words, you are weak. Hear me again and again. I don't care what you know. If you are not a master of words, you are weak. chapter 3 and verse 2. James chapter 3 and verse 2. Look at what the Bible says here. For we all stumble in many things. Are we together now? James is speaking to us. We all stumble in many things. What did he say now? If anyone does not stumble in words, what is that person? He's a perfect man. This is the word for you, brothers and sisters. We sin in many things. We fall short in many ways. But if you see a man that does not stumble in words, he's a perfect man. A perfect man is a man that does not stumble in words. The power of words. If words rule the earth, if words command things, if men reign by words, if your words determine your life, if your life is shaped by words, then brothers and sisters, you must pay attention to words. You must become a master of words. You can't talk failure and be successful. It's against the law of nature. You can't talk down and go up. No. You can't talk stagnation and be progressive. No. You can't talk poverty and be rich. No. Your word creates your atmosphere. Your word creates your experience. Your word creates your life. If you live in the midst of 10 people, maybe your family growing up, and the rest of them keep speaking things that are low, if you keep speaking things high, the law has been designed to pull you out in the midst of them and launch you to where you believe. Words. How to master words. If all I did is just to tell you the power of words, how that is, I didn't teach you how to master words, I didn't do good on this teaching. Is the Holy Ghost helping us tonight? I choose the way of the Lord. I choose the way of the Lord. For the way of the Lord is the way of wisdom. I choose the way of the Lord. Somebody is listening tonight and is saying, leave it. You better tell people you need help so that they can come and help you. I can't be the way of the world. You have been telling everybody you need help. How many have come to your help?
But I choose the way of the Lord. I choose the way of the Lord. For the
works. I have tried the ways of the world. I have seen the gaps, the frailness, and the futility in the ways of the world. But I found the way that works is the way of the Lord. Let the weak say, I'm strong. Let the poor say, I'm rich. Let the failure say, I'm successful. Let the low say, I'm high. Let the down say, I'm lifted. Didn't you tell you that when the world says there is a casting down, I will say I have a lifting, glory to God. When you are saying it, you might not see the lifting. But when you declare you have been lifting, his integrity is so committed to give you what you say. How to master words. How to master words. Number one, I will say tonight, how to master words. Number one, study to be quiet. I show you a mystery tonight, brothers and sisters. Number one, on how to master words, study to be quiet. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 11. Give me the Old King James. Old King James. Look at what the Bible says. And that you study. Look at what the Bible is teaching us. Wisdom. That you study to be quiet and to do your own business and to work with your own hands, and as we commanded you. Paul is speaking. He's giving intelligence to the people at Thessalonica. He's telling them that there is a mystery that make men master on the earth. That mystery is study. You need to study it. Some of us have a very busy, noisy mind, but you need to learn the dynamics to put your mind to shorts. Study to be quiet. You know why? Until you master silence, you cannot master words. Until you master silence, you cannot master words. Were you told that world is golden, silence is diamond? Only the wise understand the use. Write out these nuggets. They are from the spirit. Words is golden, silence is diamond. Only the wise understand the use. Until you master silence, you cannot master words. I'm speaking to you by the message of the Lord tonight, with everything from my within. I really want to see an army rise. I want to see great men rise. This is the formula. Whosoever can rule his word with his words can rule the world. Whosoever is in control of his words is in control of his world. And before you can be in control of your world, you must be in control of silence. Many of you don't feel comfortable in a quiet room. You are under pressure. If you and I sat together in a room and I just keep quiet, many of you have been trained not to be careful, not to be comfortable. You are bringing up conversation because for you, silence means that there is enmity. No. In the place of wisdom, what they do most is silence. Are you aware that in your silence is your beckoning of wisdom? When you talk, you don't know more. When you keep quiet, you learn more. When you talk, you only tell us what you have known. When you listen, you receive more. Archbishop Basingdoula said, I listen to every man, including the madman. I listen to every man, including the fools. When I have nothing to learn from the fools, at least I learn how not to talk like a fool. Silence. 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 You want to know if you can be quiet? Find yourself alone in a place. Let's see how long you can stay there. I'm not talking about you not talking. You know, your mouth might not be talking, and yet your mind is saying 1 million things. While you are seated, your mind is abusing someone, and your mouth is quiet.
Don't mind him, idiots.
And you're quiet until you can bring your mind to a state of stillness. It's called stillness. David said, be still and know. There's a dimension of knowledge you will never access until you embrace stillness. In stillness is intimacy. In stillness is knowledge. In stillness is wisdom. When you are still, you beckon on the wisdom voice of the Holy Spirit. many of the messages you receive, many of the things God communicates, if I was loquacious, running my mouth anyway, I will not hear God a jack. I can sit there and be quiet. I've stayed there like that for 72 hours. No words. Just there. When I feel sleepy, I'll sleep. We wake up again, we continue. That's how knowledge is downloaded. In stillness. Can't you see that all you know is frail? You've tried all you know. How far have they taken you? In stillness. In stillness. You enter any society, watch the most respected of men. They are the men that keep quiet the most. That when they clear their throat in the meeting, everybody's asking, do you want to say something? Just because it's just a because he has been silent. Didn't the Bible tell you the other time that a fool, when he keeps quiet, he beckons some wisdom. You look at him as a wise person. Be still. Be still. Be still. Proverbs 17 and verse 27. Be still. Just give us that place again as a reminder. Proverbs 17 and verse 27. Give us verse 28. Next verse 28. I want you to write this down. Don't forget it. Even a fool is counted to be wise when he holds his peace. When he shut his lips, is considered perspective. Master silencer. I'm telling you how I live. I'm telling you what I do. And I've seen great mystery. You can disarm your worst enemy when you understand the dynamics of using silence. That the person is ranging, trying and doing everything, and they just look at you. Your silence does not mean you are a fool. You don't know what to say. Sometimes, most times, the best way to respond is through silence. At the apex of wisdom, the greatest insult to a fool when he speaks rashly towards you. You know what they call it? Silence. You've heard it before. You just didn't think about it. They will say silence is the best answer for a fool. Silence. Master silence. Master the act of being quiet, being still. And watch wisdom. Number two, how to master words. Number two, be filled with the word of God. That's the song I just hear in the spirit.
You reign forever, and your word is ever great. You are the wisdom before time began.
Be filled with the word. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 16. Quickly, please. Colossians 3 and verse 16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. Look at the prescription of wisdom for us. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. What will happen? Teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart to the Lord. When you are filled with the word, this is the end result. When you are filled with the word, you speak wisdom. When you are filled with the word, are you told that when you are so filled with the word, you get to a level where you become a teacher? Even when you don't want to teach, people will come and listen. Because every word from you is a word on the marble, is a word of wisdom. If you find yourself always begging people to keep quiet when you are speaking, your word is not heavy. There are men that no matter the noise, The moment they said, so this is what, everybody go quiet. Whereas you will still say, wait, I want to talk. Your word does not carry weight. Your word only carry weight to the degree to which that word is in alignment with the word of God. Hear me again and again. You want to speak words that carry weight. You want to be a master of words. Be filled with the word of God. Be filled with the word of God. It is garbage in, garbage out. It is what you bring in that you bring out. It said, he that believe in me, as the word that says, out of him shall flow. If any man thirst, that was how he began, let him come and drink. So you drink before you give, and you only give what you drink. If what you drink are worldly music, you will give worldly words. It's not the devil manipulating your tongue. You are only bringing up what you have drank. You stand as a worship lead, and for the next 10 minutes, you don't know what next song to sing. All the songs coming to your mind are worldly songs, and you are wondering, oh, these people are not worshiping. It's not them, it is you. You can't listen to worship, to worldly song, and expect to have worship songs to sing when the time comes. No. When we press you by force, you will sing the video song. Because that's what you have fed yourself with. This is why I don't know what you are doing with worldly songs. I don't know what you are doing with the materials of the words. What you bring in is what you bring out. Let the word fill your heart. Meditate on the word. You can't go far if you are not given to meditation. He told Joshua, Joshua chapter 1 and verse 8, this book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth. You shall meditate. He said, it shall not depart. Give us the scripture. Joshua 1 and verse 8. He said, the book must not depart from your mouth. I imagine Joshua said, how? How will I talk the scripture every time? The Lord answered him immediately. You shall meditate in it day and night. In other words, you speak what you think. You speak what you meditate. You want to keep speaking like God? Meditate on God's word. Meditate on God's word. Meditate on it. Meditate on it. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8. Philippians 4 and verse 8. If your mind is filled with it, your mouth will say it. Even when you are sleeping and you are dreaming, you will speak the word. Even when they wake you up and you are still unconscious, instead of you using worldly word as your dissipations, you will find yourself speaking scriptures. Wake me anytime. There are two things you possibly hear from me. Jesus. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Think. Look at what the Bible says. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, if there is anything praiseworthy, what did he say? Meditate on these things. You are not a believer if you still listen to all those negative news. The one they tell you on every afternoon on radio, somebody raped somebody fell inside well, and you fill your heart with that, and you sit there like a fool. You are a fool. I'm sorry. That is how you now begin to live your life in fear. You begin to live your life in the consciousness of those news. I want you to notice that the more they read, the more it increase. It's not pure, it's not true, it's not noble. Don't permit it into your ears. Were you not told that there are two gates into your life? Your eyes and your ears that shape your destinies. Don't permit any jumps. You are in the midst of colleagues who play songs that you don't like. Buy earphone. Plug your ears with earphone and hear messages. You think it's fashion that will make somebody like me put necklace and free Bluetooth everywhere I go? In case I stumble to the midst of those who are not of my faith and they are saying nonsense, instead of fighting and saying, I plug my ears. And while they are listening to words that came, I'm listening to words that live. They keep falling sick, and I will never fall sick. Because whatever you feed on, the time is how you live out. First Timothy chapter 4 and verse 15. First Timothy chapter 4 and verse 15. Give me the Passion Translation then, straight. Look at what the Bible says. Make all this. Make all of this. All of the words I've spoken to you. Make all of this your constant meditation. Make the word of God your constant meditation. What next did he say? Make it real in your life. Make the word real. Don't make it what you only listen to when you are in church or in a Christian gathering. Make it your life. You are walking, listen to the scriptures, listen to messages. You are sleeping, let scriptures be playing. Saturate your atmosphere. Look at what it says. It says, so everyone can see that you are moving forward. You can't live in this reality and ever be stagnant. You will progress. New King James said, your progress will appear to all. So number one, up to master quiet. What is number one? Shout it loud. Number one. I can't hear you. Shout it. Number two, be filled with the word of God. Number three, how to master words. To be in control of the words that come out of your mouth. Number three, be filled with the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. Be filled. Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 18 into 19. The Passion, and then prepare NLT. Be filled with the Spirit. Oh, I love this so well. I love the procession. Study to be quiet. Be filled with the Word. This is what meditating on. Study to be quiet. Now, when you feel so much pressed to talk, it's meant to be quiet. The next, the filled with the Spirit. Look at what the Bible says here. Don't get drunk. Ephesians 5 and verse 18, the Passion Translation. Don't get drunk with wine, which is rebellion. Instead, what did he say? Be filled with the fullness of the Holy Spirit. What will happen to you? Next verse. What will happen? And your heart will overflow with joyful singing to the Lord Jehovah. What will happen? Keep speaking. You cannot be filled and not speak. If you are filled with the Holy Ghost, you will talk. Have you seen a drunkard before? A drunkard is never quiet. And one of the characteristics of a drunkard is that they are bold. This is why you have to be filled with the Holy Ghost. Be filled consistently. Give us message. There's a way to present it. Message translation. Be filled. When you are full of the Holy Ghost, you speak with audacity. Don't get drunk too much. I mean, don't drink too much wine. That cheapens your life. Look at what it says. Drink the Spirit of God. Were you told that when we stand and we lapa cabrasso veneta cagoniata endo bread, we are drinking. We are drinking the wine of the Spirit. And when we get to a level where we are so drunk, we begin to say words that are out of this world. How can a man say, I am God on the earth? I cannot be killed. No evil can befall me. No weapon fashioned against me can prosper. That man is drunk. When you get drunk, some things you will never be able to say ordinarily because you will be ashamed. When you get drunk, you speak it out with the wine of the Spirit. A drunkard can tell you, if I meet the president, I will slap him. In his right sense, he will not be able to say that. He will never be able to say that. But when he's drunk, even if he's in his ass to slap the president, when he's normal and he's in his right sense, he will not say it. But when he's drunk, he has the ability to say it out. Be filled. Speak in tongues always. In the morning, in the day, in the night. You are walking alone, speaking tongues. You don't have to shout it. You can mutter it. Are you talking to me? No, I'm not talking to you. I'm moving forward. You said what? No, I'm talking to myself. My life is getting better. Let them say you are speaking alone. When it begins to produce results, they will begin to say it. They will begin to say it. I can never be sick. No, my body cannot have a sickness. I'm strong. I'm mighty. The field with the spirit, brothers and sisters. This is the way to live a life of excellence, of success. It's the law of the spirit, the field. Not only when you get to arise, in your home, the field. It's a wine that is available everywhere. The field. Peter was timid. He could not talk. He was running up and down. He called a small girl, madam, woman. When he got filled with the Holy Ghost, he stood before multitude. He said, when they considered the boldness of Peter, they took notice that these ones are not ordinary men. They are filled with God. When you speak with boldness, I told them many times in the place of work, everybody can get sick. Olaniwaju can never be sick. Filled with the Spirit. Filled with the Spirit. Filled with the Spirit. It can happen to everyone. No, it can happen to everyone except me. Filled with the Spirit. And then you speak with boldness. The last one, and then we are done for tonight. Is some of the blessed here tonight? The first one in Out of Master Words is number one, study to be quiet. Number two, be filled with the words of God. Number three, be filled with the Spirit of God. And lastly, keep the right company. Proverbs 13 and verse 20. Passion, NLT, and message. In that order, passion, NLT, and message. Proverbs 13 and verse 20. It's projected with a loud voice. Can you read for me? One, two, go. Told brothers and sisters that you always speak like your company. You always speak like your company. Bring an innocent boy into the midst of tout at the car park. Leave him there for 6 minutes, six months. Come back after 6 months. They will need to tell him and say, this is how to talk. You will meet him speaking their language, speaking the way they speak. You will always speak like your company. What's the next one? Is it message now? Message. NLT, yeah, thank you. Whosoever walk with the wise becomes wise. You see that now? Whosoever walk with the fools, what will happen? We suffer harms. Your company determines what you say. Before now, you don't usually curse until you begin to have some kind of friends. Now you are speaking like them. Message translation now. Become wise by walking with the wise. What's the next line? Hang out with fools and watch your life. What happened? Fall into pieces. You don't need any wish to come into your life when you walk with fools. It will shatter into pieces. Because that's the reward for foolishness. Finally tonight, Psalm 107. And verse 2. Psalm 107 and verse 2. Look at what the Bible says here. I want you to read it with a loud voice. Just that one line. Just that one line. I want you to do something very major the next 2 minutes over your own life. But I need to give you the Bible. Are we together now? 1, 2, shout it loud. Again. Again. So he gave you a blanket. What do you say? Over your finances, what do you say? Let the redeemer of the Lord say so. There is a stamp that authorizes whatever you say. But they are waiting. What do you say? Somebody rise on your feet tonight. They are going to spend the next 2 minutes to speak over your life. To speak over your life. Remember all that your words do. Your word creates. Your word determines your life. Your word has life or death. Your words have the ability to make or to kill. But you must say, Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. And whatever name Adam called it, that's what they become. What do you call your finances? What do you call your marriage? What do you call your family? Somebody lift up your voice and say so tonight. Say so. My life goes upward and forward only. My life goes upward and forward only. I will never be stagnated. I will never walk in poverty. I will never be rejected. I will never be weak. I will never be sick. I will never fail. The grace of God is at work in me. The glory of the Lord is made manifest in me. Arise, you shine for the world to see. Arise, you can never be little. Arise, the world will hear you and see your words. They will come to your light. I decree, my life go forward. I have speed. 10 years result put together in one. I'm a success, not a failure. I'm strong, never weak. I'm great, never little. I am mighty, never small. I am lifted. I am helped by God. I am favored, full of the Holy Ghost. I wrought miracles, signs, and wonders. My life is always progressing, always moving forward. I'll never live in debt. I'll never live in poverty. I'm a giver, not a borrower. Things are working for me. All things are working in my life. Nothing works against me. There is no obstacles on my way. Anything that stands there is a ladder to the next level. Speak over your life. Declare that thou mightest be justified. By your word you are justified. By your word you are also condemned. Let the redeemer of the Lord say so. What do you say online? What do you say over your finances? What do you say over your marriage? What do you say over your children? My children are mighty. My children are strong. The seed of the righteous shall be mighty on the earth. They are the best in their class. They are the best amongst their mates. They will serve the Lord and know the Lord. Say so. No sickness in my family. I'll never be a victim of any evil. 1,000 may fall by the right, 10,000 by the left. With my eyes only shall I behold the reward of the evil ones. I am kept and preserved. I am protected and shielded. I'm helped. I'm helped by God. Whatever I lay my hands on, it prospers. Things work for me. Things work in me. I will not fall. I will not fall for sin. I will not fall for pride. I will not fall for fame. I will not fall for poverty. Where others fall, I will not fall. Hallelujah. I decree over you tonight, everything you have declared becomes your experience in the name of Jesus. Everything you have declared becomes your experience in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
We believe that you've been greatly imparted. To get more updates about the movement and to download our messages, visit www.ariseshinechristiannetwork.com.
Also, you can join us on our social media platforms, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Telegram, and MixLR at ArriseSCN.
Or you can also reach us on WhatsApp or call us on 0705314-5157. Keep shining.
Make his face shine on you. Be gracious to you.